Great. Thank you very much. That's a great passage to go to show reality for what it is, for summing up many of the things we've been looking at so far. Do please chip in with any comments, questions, any point, if you want to just chuck your hand up. Is there anything anyone particularly wants to comment on, question, up to this point? Otherwise, we're going to look at the M word, which you'll see there on the next page. It would be amiss not to speak about masturbation in a talk on pornography. And just a few comments on this. One, I mean, the Roman Catholic view of masturbation is that it is a sin in and of itself. The Protestants, apparently, generally have said, yes, it is sinful, but not always, not definitely. And the reason why Protestants have been a bit more reluctant to say that is because the Bible doesn't actually address masturbation explicitly. So we've got to be careful not to say that it is simply always wrong. That said, a couple of thoughts. Firstly, Jesus says to lust is to commit adultery. We've seen that in Matthew 5. So if you lust as you masturbate, then it's sinful. And lust is almost always, and almost always lies behind masturbation. Secondly, it's a myth to think that masturbation relieves sexual tension, except in the very short term. In fact, it's probably making the issue worse, since it sort of reinforces sexual thoughts. And third comment, sex is fundamentally about self-giving, and masturbation is fundamentally about self-serving. So, for those three reasons, it's probably fair to say that it is almost always inappropriate. There's some quite helpful questions that Tim Chester suggests that you ask yourself, and you see them there on the handout. Does my masturbation involve inappropriate sexual fantasies? Am I in control of my masturbation, or am I being mastered by my masturbation? Is my masturbation beneficial? Does it strengthen my marriage? Does it enhance my service of God? Is my masturbation something I can do to the glory of God? So that's obviously leading questions, and I think they're quite helpful ones to think about in this context. And there is, I wonder if there is a sort of, what is the purpose of sex? What is the whole nature of godly, biblical sex? And it seems to me that it is a self-giving and a giving of pleasure to another, fundamentally. And I wonder if we have, you know, not surprisingly, imbibed from our culture that sex is primarily about me being fulfilled and about my needs being met. And so that feeds into that sort of idea that, you know, I need that top up or whatever. And I think, I wonder if that's just a misunderstanding of what sex is all about. And then there is how much that actually does help in terms of evening people's sexual desires up, I think is open debate. I mean, I'm no scientist on this sort of stuff, but from what I've been reading, that doesn't seem to be what scientists are saying about it. Any other thoughts?
I suppose the only question is, with those questions, is to... I'd add another sort of question, which is, have I lied about any of the above?
Yes.
In that... The last question is possibly asking that question in a slightly more theological way.
Yeah.
But our capacity for dressing sin up as righteousness is, I mean, we do this in every realm. And in some ways, the longer you've been a Christian, the better you are at this, because you just honed it. And I think that would come in with what Nathan's question, that we're very good at making what is essentially a self-gratifying activity appear to be something we're only doing to help our wives cope. with our sexual libido. It's nothing of the sort, and therefore we just need to put our own justifications under the microscope, which is a hard thing to do, which is where others can help in some areas. Call us if we're being blatantly ridiculous.
I think a similar one makes that as well, so that's obviously a marriage context. The other one would be unmarried context, so if you have a girlfriend, to not overstep boundaries, that masturbation would help to kind of satisfy you, so you're less likely to break rules when you're alone.
Again,
same reasoning, but flawed reasoning.
I mean, I think it goes back slightly to you reap what you sow. And so to think that by doing something that is sinful is actually going to help you be more righteous is a myth. Now, Tim Chester, the main thing that I want us to get from his book is this sort of pattern, 5 A's that he's come up with to help us overcome, deal with pornography, to live life porn-free, as he describes it on the front of his book. And you'll see those A's there. We've really looked majorly at the first one, abhorrence of porn. But he also says that we want to have an adoration for God, an assurance of grace, avoidance of temptation, accountability of others. Adoration of God, a desire for God arising from a confidence that he offers more than porn. Assurance of grace, an assurance that you are loved by God and right with God through faith in the work of Jesus. Avoidance of temptation, a commitment to do all in your power to avoid temptation, starting with controls on your computer. And we'll think a bit about some of the practical things we can be doing to help us avoid temptation. And fifth, their accountability to others, a community of Christians who are holding you accountable and supporting you in your struggle. He says those 5 things together is a tremendously helpful way of overcoming problems with pornography. If you turn over the page, we'll just see a few things under each of these, and then we've got a few case studies to have a quick look at. Firstly, adoration of God. It's just worth asking the question, what is it about porn, or what is it that porn offers that we think is better than God? And that's, I suppose, a question for self-examination. Because largely, porn flows out of all sorts of idolatries, all sorts of heart desires that we have which are different than for God. So maybe it's a desire for respect, a desire for intimacy, a desire for comfort, a desire for reward, for pleasure, all sorts of other desires. G.K. Chesterton, the famous quote of his, "Every man who knocks on the door of the brothel is looking for God." In other words, every person in that situation desires something that really only God can satisfy, but they think they can find it in something else. And Tim Chester makes a big thing of saying, look, what we need to do is to fight pleasure with even greater pleasure. And inevitably he quotes John Piper in this, and you'll see the quote there on your handout. "The fire of lust's pleasure must be fought with the fire of God's pleasures. If we try to fight the fire of lust with prohibitions and threats alone, even the terrible warnings of Jesus will fail. We must fight it with a massive promise of superior happiness. We must swallow up the little flicker of lust's pleasure in the conflagration of holy satisfaction." In other words, fight pleasure with even greater pleasure. See how in God we have even greater pleasures than anything that porn can offer. And Jesus promises to meet our desires, to meet our needs. Famous verse, Jesus saying, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And the question is, do we believe that? Do we really, really believe that? Now, I'm not saying this is easy in any way at all. It's not a straightforward thing to do. But it is true I'm sure we believe, at least in our heads, that all these desires we can find in God, met in God, that a desire for respect is found in a God who gives us a new identity. A desire for intimacy is found in our relationship with him. Jesus is the source of all comfort. He's the greatest reward of all. Enjoyment of him is the greatest pleasure of all. Now, that is easy to say, and it's easy to know the theory, and much harder to live out when home late at night after an exhausting, perhaps a demoralizing day at work. But I think here, this is where we need to cultivate these desires for God and our adoration of God to be captured by this truth. And that's not something that happens overnight, but through the various means of grace that God gives us, day by day, to growing in our adoration of God through reading the Bible, through meditating on Scripture, through praying, through being part of a church, through coming together week by week, through singing together, all sorts of different ways in which God has given us to grow in our adoration of him. Not easy, but that is the life of faith. Another thing that he majored on, Tim Chester, is the assurance of grace. God is a God of grace. Jesus is the friend of sinners. And it is really encouraging to think about some of the Bible characters who failed massively in the whole area of sex and yet were restored and given great prominence. Just two came to mind preparing this. King David is the obvious one, and Psalm 51, he majorly failed. And Rahab, the prostitute. Okay, she's not a man, but I'm sure we can still see how Rahab, who is a prostitute, is shown amazing grace and spared from the destruction of Jericho. And she comes in the line of David, the line of Jesus, if you read Matthew 1. And I love what Tim Chester does here. You see it on your handout with 2 Corinthians 5:21, where he quotes Paul and then he re-quotes it to relate to pornography. He says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Tim Chester writes, let's be clear what this means for Christians who struggle with porn. God made Jesus, who never looked with lust, to be a porn addict for us, so that in him we might become sexually pure. That is the gospel of grace, that Jesus has died on our behalf, taking on our sin for him, so that we could be pure. And so it's only right to come before God, a God of grace, and keep short accounts with him. And perhaps that's something that is hard to do in this whole area. When we stumble, we feel like we can't go back to God. But to know that God is a God of grace helps us to keep short accounts with him, and to follow the teaching of 1 John 1 there. To not claim to be without sin and so deceive ourselves, but to confess our sins and to know forgiveness in that. Then some more of the practical things here. Avoidance of temptation. Quote there from Job 31. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. And the advice of 1 Corinthians, or the command of 1 Corinthians, flee from sexual immorality. And there's various ways in which we could do this, but particularly given that pornography and the internet are such a massive issue. Here, just three possible things you can do. Covenant eyes. Do please chip in if you know particularly how well these work, or if you use them yourself. These are basically covenant eyes acts to take every website which you've been looking at and forward them to a sort of accountability partner so that they can see everything that you've been looking at on the internet, which works well if they're thorough and they're looking out for stuff. Doesn't work quite so well if they're not particularly interested. But that is one place where you can go, and you can have a look at their website. They've got a little sort of video to explain how it all works. That can be great for kids as well, and thinking through how you can set up filters and ways in which you can restrict your kids' access to pornography. We haven't really got time to talk about that, but that's obviously a big issue. X3 Watch is free, does a similar thing to Covenant Eyes, but is less thorough, but is okay. That's another option. And K9 is recommended. Can I just go on to the final point there, accountability to others? Obviously, a big part of this is confession. And primarily, our confession is to God. Psalm 51, David confesses solely to God for sinning against God. And yet, it is also helpful to confess, particularly in this area, to one another. And that is not an easy thing to do. I suppose one question is, do we value our reputation more or our godliness more? But also, this is not something necessarily just to do to anyone. It is obviously appropriate to do it with people that you feel able to do it with, that you feel you have the strength of relationship with. But don't let that be an excuse to say, well, there's just no one out there who I can relate to at this sort of level. Be that vulnerable too. I think there's a challenge for us as a church, as a church community, to be a community of grace, where we actually are open about our failings, and we make it possible for people to admit sin in their life and not to have to feel as though we've got to go around wearing masks and being fake about it all. But I really encourage us to, if we're not already in a prayer triplet, that could be a great thing to form, and to be talking to people about stuff. Tim Chester, again, has put some really good questions here for sort of prayer triplets, accountability groups, to be asking of each other. They're not all about porn at all. They're about all sorts of different things. Although, being blokes, that's an obvious one to ask about. It's the third one down there. But it's a great thing to do, to be in a prayer trip, in a relationship where you're able to do that. Why don't I close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ we have all that we could ever ask for. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that we were made for you and for your glory. And Lord, we pray that you would deeply convict us in our hearts of your greatness, that we would be changed by your grace, that we would hate sin, that we specifically here would hate pornography. And so that when we do what we want to do, it would be to serve you and to serve your people. Lord, please would you help us as a church, help us as individuals in this area to be people of purity. And so much more effective for you, able to love others more, able to be the people you made us to be. Lord, please would you help us in this area. Help us to be a community of grace, where we're able to be vulnerable and honest with one another, and to experience your grace for us through each other. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.